lot of conversations around the SDGs, which is supposed to be achieved by 2030. And then there's also been some talks around the Africa we want, which is also expected to be achieved by 2063. Now, whilst there has been a lot of work on the part of the government, even individuals and other institutions to ensure we achieve both goals, we know there's one particular body we cannot leave out of this conversation, which is the role of civil society organizations and then non-governmental organizations. Today's exploration will delve into the role of CSOs and then NGOs, especially as it pertains to their contributions towards nurturing exceptional leaders. Now, you'd realize that we started a particular series where we are talking about nurturing exceptional leaders. Last week, we looked at the role of the family, and today we are going to look at the role of CSOs and then NGOs. And I have two amazing people to help me navigate this very important topic. I have here Abby. You're welcome, Abby.
Thank you, Dee.
I'm just looking at your smile, and it's lighting up the whole room, I can tell you. And then there's also Sly here to also help us. Sly, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be back.
I think
I missed about two shows.
Yes.
Two recordings, yeah.
Yeah, how was your birthday?
Yeah, good. Just happy for life, grateful for all of you being around. Yeah, so we move.
Yeah. And to mention that Abby just touched down. How has it been? How did the weather greet you when you entered?
it was nice. I think like just being on the flight with everyone coming back home, seeing, you know, the enthusiasm with which people were welcoming, you know, families. It was just really refreshing.
Yeah.
And it just reminds you that there's no place like home.
Yep. Mm.
That I can tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were telling me something about the passengers on the flight that you took from London to Ghana. How was it? Maybe you could share with our audience.
Literally everyone on the flight was Ghanaian.
Wow.
It was black.
British Airways.
Fully, like, airline. Not half, you know, full to capacity, such that they were begging passengers to move their bags down and everything. I'm like, wow, there are these number of, you know, Africans or black people living out who are just eager to come back home. People were connecting. You can see people know each other.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, an interesting sight. And I think it's interesting the way, you know, when we think about beyond the return, it has become a theme where people just want to come back. And I think it's something we should keep doing.
So, amazing. Good to know. Yeah.
They call it Dirty December for a reason. So moving away from that to today's topic, we are still talking about nurturing exceptional leaders with a focus on the role of CSOs and NGOs. Amazingly, today's panelists have, connection with NGOs and CSOs. So Abby is the Director for Partnership and Programs here at the Grace Life Leadership Center. And she's also the co-founder for Zeroon Analytics. And then Sly is also a consultant and he's the president for the education sector here at the Grace Life Leadership Center. I can tell you that it's going to be worth your time and we are going to learn so much about the role of NGOs and then CSOs. So Abby, let me start with you.
Okay.
Can you tell us how these NGOs and CSOs are exerting their influence when it comes to nurturing of exceptional leaders?
Yeah, I think when we think about NGOs and CSOs, they are in a very critical or influential point in our societies. And I say that because, number one, you see that some of these NGOs are established for the purpose of helping the society grow. And so unlike when you take a business where, you know, the sole aim is to make profit and then the afterthought is to do something in the society, when we think about NGOs and CSOs, their core aim is to support a particular agenda or objective, which is all geared towards, you know, improving the society. So that's what makes them very influential.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about how they also influence the raising of leaders, I think that's usually, and when we think about how the NGO landscape has evolved over time, and especially in Africa, we have seen a great need for raising leaders. Like, if you think about how any organization is run, it's because of leaders. And so a lot of these NGOs have started being intentional mm-hmm. when it comes to raising leaders, even right. if, you know, you think about what they do and it's about education or some other aspect, they are trying to bring leadership as one of the core areas they are doing. And I think that's really important, and it's yes. really helping to, you know, bring out more advocacy on why we need leaders and, you know, raising leaders. So for me, I see that NGOs, CSOs are at a very critical place, and a lot are doing or intensifying their efforts when it comes to, you know, leadership development across board, and that's really good.
Yeah, and I wanted to add that Abigail is a MasterCard Foundation scholar, and then Sly is also a MOFCOM like scholar, and these people have had an opportunity to, they have information about how NGOs, their participation in terms of raising leaders. So Abby, I read somewhere that the MasterCard Foundation now wants to focus on sustainability and climate leadership, and you could see most of their essays, they try to find people who've actually been engaged in like leadership and how they can build them better. Are you able to share a bit around that before Sly comes in?
Yeah, so when we think about the MasterCard Foundation scholar, MasterCard Foundation, yeah. I think it's one of the few foundations that I know that they are intentional about bringing change to Africa. Now, the climate action, sustainability yes. leadership is just one okay. of, you know, the pathways or programs they think can directly benefit Africa. They have also what we call Africa Works, mm-hmm. which is trying to make sure that young women and young people get fulfilling. There's another term they use, fulfilling and self-fulfilled work,
okay.
whether through entrepreneurship or through employment. Because, you know, we've realized that in some years to come, I think it's been predicted by the World Bank and so many organizations that we have about 70% of the world's population coming from, you know, Africa. And so when we think about that, it means that a lot of, you know, attention needs to come on the continent. And I think MasterCard is doing something right when it comes to some of these things. For example, you know, in a lot of their programs, they are trying to lead a lot of their scholars back on the continent by okay. supporting them with entrepreneurship program. They have what they call the Social Entrepreneurship Fund, which is wow. running in different, you know, institutions. And the whole goal is to support, you know, African scholars or leaders who want to go and start an enterprise or an NGO or something to give back. There's been a lot of research on transformative leadership. They've okay. actually, you know, in their last global scholars convening, there was a whole research team that came to present on, you know, their findings on transformative leadership, how, where we've gotten to as a continent and how we can progress. Mm-hmm. So I think that all their works, including, you know, the sustainability, including Africa Works, including the Social Entrepreneurship Fund, the goal is to actually look at this continent that, you know, usually is overlooked by a lot of these global institutions and try to help make positive impacts, not just ones you would put on your CSR reports, but one that really has meaning, that is changing yeah. the lives of the people. So yeah, I think that's what I can say about
that. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like you're a MOFCOM scholar, and I'm sure you know a bit about Schwarzman's scholarship as well. So yeah. you've been for conferences that have talked about leadership and the likes. Yeah. Can you share with us
yeah.
some of the ways you think these CSOs are exerting their influence?
Yeah, and I think Abby made some very good points. You know, definitely CSOs, NGOs are very critical to societal progress, and more importantly, to helping us change the narrative on leadership in Africa. We know CSOs to be doing different stuff, keeping governments in check, accountability, democracy,
yes.
Championing climate change stuff, you know, human rights, and all of that, right? You know, trying to help people out of poverty. We know them to be doing this, but to think of CSOs to be helping to change leadership narrative, I think is a new thing. And like Abby mentioned, it's kind of transforming. The work of CSOs are transforming to take responsibility in helping to raise leaders, which is good, because I think we need more of that than ever before, right? And so different CSOs are different, doing different things. She just mentioned MasterCard, who are different, doing amazing stuff on the continent. And then you mentioned Schwarzman Scholarship, which is based in Tsinghua University. I actually tried that once or so when I was in Lagos, and I didn't succeed. But I have friends who went through successfully a very, coveted scholarship that is helping young people across the world. I know friends from Ghana who got onto that scholarship. And then I also got on the Ministry of Commerce, the Chinese Ministry of Commerce scholarship. Not typically an CSO scholarship. This is more of a government thing. But I think it's almost the same thing, because if they gave the scholarship out for free, it presupposes that they are trying to help, in one way or the other, to help build my leadership capacity. Because yes, if I'm able to do my master's program, deepen my knowledge on international affairs and all of that, I'm able to contribute meaningfully to the discussion. So I think that they are exerting influence in different ways in raising leaders, intentionally doing that, providing them with the tools they need in terms of education, right? And some of them even go all the way to help support them with capital to start their businesses. Mm-hmm. So I think the influence is clear. We know what they're doing in society, and it's good.
Okay, so I'll throw my next question to any of you. So having established that they exert a particular influence, what are some of the mechanisms by which they are able to deliver on this? Sly, you want to go?
Mechanisms, maybe another word is how are they doing it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, some of them do it through intentionally recruiting cohorts of young people to train them. I'm sure MasterCard does that, because I know the Schwarzman Scholarship does that. Okay. Every year, they open up applications and then they recruit them. They get them to, apart from just doing the academic work, they also get them to tackle certain societal issues.
Yes.
So apart from your capstone, they tell you that, look, is there anything you've identified in society you want to work on? Bring it up and let's see how we can support you, right? Apart from that, too, they help to kind of engineer that kind of partnership among young people, because by bringing them together, you get to network, you get to know what the other person is doing, right? So that is one of the ways they do it. They also do that through just random trainings, they organize leadership training conferences, events where they bring on board different people to come and learn on different topics. How to influence society, how to cause change, how to do different stuff, So I think the mechanism is just intentionally putting people in that position to learn, about stuff. And also, I think the other way they do it is to let people know what the important things in society are. So we established earlier that CSOs work on different things. So they just let young people especially know that these are the critical issues of society that we need to tackle, streetism.
Yes.
Some of them are doing that. Lead Ghana, especially, is trying to help in the education sector, where they are saying that, look, we are sending you to the remote areas. So I think they just try to point out the essential issues that we need to tackle as a society for improvement, So I think these are the mechanisms that they use, different stuff.
All right. And Abby, you're the director for programs and partnership here at TGLC. Mm-hmm. So people would want to know what mechanisms TGLC utilizes, since it's also an NGO, very passionate about developing leaders. So we would want to know.
So first of all, when we think about NGOs or CSOs, I think three key things we need to note. The fact that these organizations are task-driven.
Right.
Okay.
They are people-focused, and their initiatives are also on community level.
Right.
And so whether, even as TGLC, whether we are delivering whatever initiatives, mechanisms, these are at the core of whatever programs I am bringing up or, we are delivering. When we think about MasterCard, you gave an example you know, there are certain areas, sometimes they want to focus on sustainability or science or agriculture or leadership. So those focuses are there, and then define mechanisms and programs to deliver on that. So one of that would be through training programs. Now, when we take training programs, and here at, you know, TGLC, I think one of the main things, it's not just about raising leaders. It's about letting the people you are bringing understand that they can be leaders. You know, sometimes it's very important to get to understand yourself first. And I think if you take the Schwarzman Scholarship, and by the way, I also applied that. The MasterCard Foundation, if we take, you know, some of these programs, if you take the Grace Life Leadership Center, you realize that beyond bringing them, beyond bringing young people and training them, we first of all take them through a series of, you know, understanding yourself, because it's important to know who you are, what are your values, where do you want to get to. So I think those mechanisms are the first level, like base one, setting the stage for building a leader, because you don't want to build a leader who doesn't understand who they are or what they want to accomplish or why they even want to be a leader. So we do that through our training programs. And then I think one other great thing is mentorship. Now, in this part of the world, sometimes we underestimate the power of mentorship, but it's very important. And so even as an organization, the Grace Life Leadership Center, one of the things we've been doing is trying to, you know, have really thought through a mentorship program where we are connecting people to people they can learn from, people who have, you know, walked the path, who are at a level they want to get to, who are doing, you know, something they want to do. So mentorship across all these, you know, CSO, NGO programs that I run is very critical. Recently, you know, I was mentoring some folks on the Junior Achievement Ghana program, just helping them, sharing my, you know, my experiences, giving them examples. Some students were asking questions. It's just one way to, you know, really get into that, you know, influence of leadership. And I think the last one I'll probably add is given platform. I think that for every young person who wants to become a leader, one critical thing is having a platform. And these NGOs serve as a platform if you want to get into advocacy, policy engagement. This is an opportunity for you to use that organization's platform to amplify what you want to also do in your community. So you think about, you know, the MasterCard Foundation Scholarship, everybody coming, once again, going back to the three main things, community level, everybody has talked about what they are doing in their community. But beyond that, the other question is, how do you use this platform, this MasterCard Foundation network, to actually take what your community involvement is, what you are volunteering, what you want to do to the next level. When we think about the Grace Life Leadership Center and when we are bringing in leaders, every single person has something they are doing or they want to do. And so the question is, how do we create those platforms, whether through skill building programs, whether through, you know, highlighting what they are doing, whether through promoting what they are doing, or just that vast network we are giving to them to, you know, assess so many people. I think that it's important to give, you know, a platform for leaders to stand on, because, you know, in Africa, if you start by yourself, you cannot agree that it's not easy at all. So just having that platform. And I think, you know, NGO CSOs are really good at providing some of these platforms you wouldn't get, you know, in an ordinary educational institution or even in a business place. These platforms, even if you go into the corporate world, it helps set you up to excel as a leader.
Indeed, just to add on to one of the mechanisms, which is the mentorship one, you know, I know Catholic Relief Service that is based in the northern part of Ghana. There was a time my brother actually informed me that they wanted to recruit him to help in their mentorship program, community mentorship program, where they connect young people, let's say maybe five young people in the community, just community based, to people like him to mentor, which I thought was brilliant.
Yes.
At the time, because he was busy, he couldn't take up that opportunity. But I thought this is something that is very good, because one of the critical things young Africans need right now, apart from education skills, is mentorship.
Yeah. Yes.
Many young people don't know what to do.
100%.
They have the information, they have the knowledge, but what do they do with it? Mm-hmm. There was a time I was talking to Ima, co-founder at TGLC. And says, like, I think one of the issues is that these young people we are helping have a lot of information, but they don't know what to do with it.
Yes.
So I think it's called the information action gap or so. You know, knowing the thing and putting it into practice is different.
Yes.
So I think young people in Africa increasingly need mentors who would help them, coach them, direct them, advise them on what to do, which steps to take. And all of that, I think, is very important. And so if there is any area that CSOs and NGOs must focus, I think it is the mentorship. And that is one of the things that TGLC is doing amazingly, you know, that's intentional mentorship structure. Yeah. To help, you know, young people. I think it's brilliant and it's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So Sly, can you speak to the synergy between the initiatives by these CSOs and NGOs and then societal progress?
Yeah, I think it's clear, right? By doing these things, definitely we are most likely to see some progress in society. Because like we mentioned earlier, these CSOs and NGOs originally are there to help with societal progress. They do different things that will help in that. I am very passionate and happy about those that are targeting the streetism, because in Accra especially, I'm becoming, like someone would say, to see so many people on the streets, you know. So if we are able to lift more of these people from the streets, then definitely we are making some progress. If we are able to train young people to have the leadership skills they need, the capacity they need to lead, then definitely we are, and especially on that, actually, if Africa, what Africa needs right now is leadership, proper leadership, like we said. So if CSOs are putting in place mechanisms, structures to help build leaders that will change the African narrative, leadership narrative, and I think that we are most likely to see some good progress, you know. So just to say that if TGLC succeeds in what we're doing, then Africa has a better chance of becoming
TGLC
a better world.
TGLC after 5 years, know? We have something, we've succeeded in a way.
Yes, in different ways, but if we have the full-blown package where we have these young people leading with selflessness and integrity and consciousness and change-driven and all of that, you know, that is the big deal, right? So yeah, these mechanisms and structures all help in progressing society. And it's just a matter of time. Once we get more CSOs delving into the area of intentionally raising leaders, then I think the future is bright.
I thought there was a particular example you would want to look at in this instance. You were telling me about Lead for Ghana.
Yes, good. So what Lead for Ghana is doing is brilliant, where they are intentionally helping to solve an aspect of the educational challenges in Ghana, you know, taking young people to the rural areas and connecting them to students to help them teach. I saw one of my mentees, my mentees in TGLC who is part of the program this year.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, Napari, you are doing well.
Yes.
He said, it's not easy, but you know, we are contributing our quota to societal progress. So I think getting these young people to the rural areas helps to kind of also enlighten those children there and to guide them as well. Because we know that there is a shortage in teachers, especially in the rural areas. Everybody wants to go to the urban sector. They don't want the urban area. They don't want to go to the rural areas. So if Lead for Ghana is helping to bridge that, I think it's perfect. And I hope that they become more sustainable in what they are doing. And it's just a matter of time again. And we will see that their impact will be felt. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing people who have been impacted through this program, like Lead for Ghana. You know, I will ask my mentee if there are any success stories of people who have directly benefited from the Lead for Ghana change. I know as for TGLC, we know that young people are doing amazing things through what we are providing here. So yeah, these are what the synergies provide.
Okay. Yeah. Abby, how about you? You have scenarios from Kenya, from a lot of many parts of Africa. So tell us, we are eager to know.
Interestingly, I was going to touch on, so when I was in Kenya, I met this MasterCard scholar, mm-hmm. young guy. Apparently, he is an MP and a deputy minister,
okay.
one of the youngest, I think, in Kenya or Uganda. Okay. And he was a scholar like a year or two ago.
I follow her on LinkedIn, probably.
It's a guy.
Yeah, a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was, I was like, wow, these are, you know, some of the success stories we want to see from, you know, the works of NGOs, CSOs, the fact that he didn't just take whatever he learned, but he's actually in government helping to make policies. And, I was you know, blown away.
Right.
Mm. I think that when we talk about societal progress, right, when we take our society, sometimes it's like we all know that something has to be done, but the question is who should do it?
Yes.
Mm. And it's the biggest problem. Yeah. It's like, oh, we know that, you know, someone has to pick this rubbish from the ground. Someone has to move this bin. Someone has to do this, but nobody is getting it done. And I think what we do as NGOs, CSOs, is to create that sense of urgency to get that done. Sometimes all people need is, you know, like the education, the awareness, or just empowering them within the community to do it. And I think that that is what we are doing well as NGOs and CSOs when we take, you know, a lot of the examples. I can give the LIFT, you know, program, what we are doing in Kenya. Like there are so many people who want employment, who are waiting to get employment. And then fast forward, they come into the Leadership Innovation Fundamentals Training Program. Afterwards, they want to start their own organization. All of a sudden, they are not waiting for anybody to create those jobs for them.
Yes.
And so it's like you almost empower them from being crippled with inability to wanting to do something for themselves. And that's progress within the society. I think that the other thing is policy influence.
Mm-hmm.
The more NGOs, CSOs talk about some of these things, the more the people involved in policy actually put it into policy. You know, there has been a lot of changes in educational policies because, you know, NGOs, CSOs are talking about it.
Right.
When we look at even the Africa Works, I was reading the AU Agenda 2063. It's literally aligned, you know?
Mm.
And so I'm like, did they take this work, this advice?
Yeah.
But that goes to show us how, you know, some of the things we are doing are informing policy. You realize that a lot of educational institutions are now looking at improving adding skill enhancement, you know, programs into whatever programs they are doing. And it's because a lot of NGOs, a lot of, you know, organizations have really drummed this over and over again. We are sitting, I saw you were on, was it TV3 or GTV? You are talking about why we need leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All these things, you would think it goes, you know, on head, but someone in policy making somewhere is actually realizing that we are speaking for the masses, we are speaking for the community, the people. And so then it becomes like you have the community is demanding this from you, or the society is demanding this from you. And so the policies have to change. And that's how I think, you know, policies have evolved over time. Societies have, you know, improved or progressed over time. So our efforts are not in vain.
Yeah.
That I can say for sure.
Yeah. Mm. And D, I love the parts where CSOs and NGOs directly support entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know, like even putting money directly into their hands and say, look, do this. Because recently with the Africa Business Heroes program, the Jack Ma Foundation, brilliant stuff, you know, pushing $1 million into the hands of 10 people. You know, I think it's amazing. And this, I actually intentionally went to look at the projects that these individuals are doing.
Okay.
It's amazing. From agriculture to finance to different stuff.
I think the one from Ghana was doing the ZPay.
Yes, ZPay. And what's the name?
And
I forgot the name.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, brilliant stuff. So if CSOs, NGOs continue to do stuff like that, then indeed we are likely to experience some good progress in society because they are tackling real issues. You know, there is one of them in Nigeria who is helping to provide health insurance for small-scale farmers, you know, who can rely on his insurance to access good health and all of that, you know, good stuff, right? So if we can get more CSO doing some of these things, I think it will help.
So we've been looking at the topic, nurturing exceptional leaders, the role of CSOs and NGOs. And Abby and Sly here have been giving us points for points why why they think it's very important the roles these NGOs and CSOs play. So then which it leads me to my next question, which is on the impact on leadership and excellence. So if you scan through, I'm sure if we sample over 2,000 CSOs and NGOs in Ghana and even on the continent, we realize that these two themes run through. That's the excellence and leadership. I want to know why. Our viewers want to know why.
Okay, I think this is just like a continuation of the impact these CSOs are making in society. And we've touched on a couple of them, right? Most of these CSOs are pushing for excellence in a lot of things, right? Through policy, you know, works, you know, trying to push the government to do certain things because they believe that there is a better way of doing this, you know, trying to shape, you know, the policies around some of these issues, you know, because there is a tendency for most of these governments to go off way because, you know, so these CSOs are there to serve as a guide to help them achieve that excellence that society needs, right? And then to make the type of impact that society really needs. Because like we mentioned earlier, they help to indicate the and help to amplify the voice of the people, right? Okay. Because they are part of the people. And so they say that, look, Galamsey is affecting the society here. I was watching a Joy News documentary on how Galamsey is actually affecting people in the community health-wise. You know, I think they said just a little amount of part of the chemicals they use in the blasting and all of that goes to affect certain parts of, you know, our health system, right? Yes. So these CSOs are there to point out exactly what we need to achieve and why we need to achieve it and to push especially governments towards excellence. And when it comes to the individual levels, they also push, you know, these young people towards achieving good things for themselves. When you come to TGLC, we are very big on excellence. Yes. I think there was one of the leadership trainings I facilitated on excellence, you know, the difference between talent and hard work and why one needs to push, you know, using Ronaldo and Messi as examples of, you know, how they are pushing so hard to be excellent in whatever they are doing, right?
By the way, which one of them do you like?
I'm not really a football fan, but I think each of them have their own, you know, skills that, you know, they inspire, they make us happy. So it's very difficult to choose which of them, but yeah.
That's a political
answer.
That is what we do here at TGLC, to push these young people towards excellence, to shape their mindset on not just being haphazard in the way they do things. If it must be done, it must be done well. You know, the government will start a road and they wouldn't do the right thing. And then civil society is like, look, the material we have used, we don't think it's helping, you know, help to patch this. So recently on the motorway, you know, there was the issue of potholes. Now, I don't know whether that picture can be verified, but there was this issue where on social media, they said the government used bitumen or something. I think that's one of the materials. Instead of using concrete to patch the motorway, you know, everyone was all over the place trying to push for the right thing to be done. Right? Yeah. So I think these are some of the ways that I think the CSOs push, you know, for excellence and impact and all of that. Yeah,
I think our needs are a lot.
Yeah.
So sometimes they need to like tie it to certain values so that we're able to focus.
Yes.
Abby, what do you think?
Yeah, I think by and by we are realizing that people are demanding excellence.
Right.
Just like Sly said, what worked, you know, previously wouldn't work today.
Exactly.
Because even if it was good, it has to be better today.
Right. Mm.
We are getting to a point where the world is evolving. Human beings are becoming sophisticated.
Yeah.
Everyone demands excellence because we know that, you know, that is what actually brings the best results.
Yeah.
When I was in Gehe, there was this thing we used to say, we are what we repeatedly do.
Yeah. You mean Wesley girls?
Yeah.
In Ghana.
Wesley girls.
So that this.
In Ghana.
Yeah.
We used to say, we are what we repeatedly do.
Mm-hmm.
Excellence, therefore, is not an act,
right.
Okay. But a habit.
Yeah.
And I think what that saying was, you know, telling us is, it has to become your everyday life. It has to, you know, become a part of you.
Yeah.
And so what CSOs, NGOs are doing, how individuals are pushing for excellence, is because we have all gotten to a point where we realize that, no, we won't accept mediocre anymore.
Right.
In whatever aspect of our lives. If we want to see real change, real growth, we need to do things not as we did before.
Mm-hmm.
We need to actually get better. And that is how, you know, and there are testimonials of where that has actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many researches on leadership and why we need leadership. You know, it's not the time to justify whether we need leadership or excellence.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that has, you know, already been established.
Yeah.
The point is, people are realizing more and more that we can't just do things anyhow and expect excellent results.
Yeah.
And at some point, I think it's going to dictate the kind of leaders we choose, the kind of, you know, policies we make, the kind of innovation we do, even the kind of businesses that are started, because, you know, we'll all be pushing for responsible leaders, ethical leaders.
Yeah.
You know, we had something called manager excellence for a lot of corporations, where managers have to also, you know, show excellence in how they manage employees, how they manage their teams and all. So I think it's just become the watchword for people. And I like that, you know, gradually or, you know, recently, there's a lot of focus on doing things well, not just getting things done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing things well, not just getting things done. That's very powerful.
Yeah.
So lastly, Abby, we want to look at certain patterns and practices from your experiences. What practices, what are some of the best practices and patterns you've observed that you think can help, especially with nurturing exceptional leaders?
Yeah. So I think the first one I would probably touch on is something called asset-based leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So I connected with this man who has started a leadership center in Rwanda. It's called Kurumbuka.
Wow.
And he opened me up to what is, and that's the model they run with, asset-based leadership, which is focusing on the strengths, skills, and the positive parts of your individuals, organizations, and communities, instead of the problems. And the reason they are doing this is that it makes for raising leaders who are solution oriented.
Right.
And so they are not focusing on, you know, oh, this is my weakness, this is why I can't do anything. This is the strength you have. How do we build on it to create, you know, like a fire brand who can solve a solution within the society? So in the end, they become problem solvers. But instead of looking at it from the other point of view where, you know, they are looking at the concerns and, you know, complaints in society, they are like, look, we are bringing leaders. We are looking at what strength this community has. How can we use that to develop it and take it to the next level? We are looking at this individual. You may have this disability or that, but you have a strength. You could probably make, there's this guy in Kenya who I watched the pitch.
Yes.
He's disabled, sitting in a wheelchair, but apparently he can make soccer balls.
Right.
Oh.
And he's creating it. So really focusing on those strengths gets us to raise leaders who are solution oriented. So I think that's the first one. The second thing I would probably touch on is ethics.
Okay.
Just, you know, organizations being ethical. It's interesting to note that, you know, for organizations that are raising leaders, a lot of people are also looking at these organizations, assuming, you know, some sort of information or news comes that, you know, this organization is doing this wrong, or, you know, they are raising leaders, but they are not treating people well, they are not paying their employees well, all those kind of things. It affects how people believe in the work you are doing. Mm. And so for the organizations themselves, I think that what sets these organizations apart when it comes to really doing the work and, you know, excelling or standing out is also putting into practice ethical values in getting, you know, your outcomes. Recently, I was having this conversation with my husband. We were talking about the fact that does the end justify the means, mm-hmm. of the whole process matters, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes when organizations want to get to a certain end or outcome, sometimes
you do all sorts of things.
You do all sort of things to get there. Yeah. And some of them may not necessarily, you know, be ethical or other well for the people that are watching or the people within the communities and society. So as NGOs, CSOs, organizations that are really raising leaders, I think that even how we raise the leaders, even how we get to mm-hmm. that outcome really matters. And it's what will set one organization apart from, you know, another.
Yeah.
When you said something about the asset-based leadership, it really resonated so well with me because yesterday I had a conversation with someone who also has a similar organization as TGOC, and they said even the name they gave to the institution, they decided to name it Hope Academy Fund. They are seeing it as a fund, so they invest in people. And I mean, if a fund invests in people, they expect returns.
Yeah.
So they're expecting that for each young child they invest into, there should be some success story. There should be, if they invest in 100 people, at least 80% or 80 of them should come out successful, which is very, very great.
Yeah,
yeah, and it also creates this sense of ownership and self-efficacy. You know, It's become a norm where MasterCard, even though, you know, they are bringing people from disadvantaged communities, it's not allowed to call them beneficiaries.
Right. Okay.
They are partners.
Wow.
That is how MasterCard even refers to, you know, scholars they help from all the programs. They are partners to the foundation. They are not beneficiaries or people that have been helped. And I think, you know, just even that name change sort of gives the scholars a certain identity or mindset. Okay, we are partners.
Yes.
We are here to help build Africa. We are not here because we are poor and we need help and we are beneficiaries. And like the way you would have a white savior and then, you know, Africa. No, that's not, you know, the image MasterCard Foundation wants to create. So I think sometimes even just the naming, like you are talking about, is a game changer.
Yeah, really, it is. Yes, like.
Yeah, absolutely. These and more things are important in CSOs. Abby mentioned what some people are doing in Kenya and all of that. But for me, I think what TGLC is doing is very important as a model that can be imitated, you know, because we are looking at a more comprehensive way of solving the leadership challenge in Africa. You know, we invite young people, we reorient their mindset, we equip them, then we send them out,
yes.
Right? So it's not just inviting them and helping to train them. We send them out to be disciples of the same, which I think is very good because one of the trends over the years is that CSOs, NGOs invite young people, they equip them, and then nobody takes care of them. Nobody cares about whatever happens to them afterwards. You know, that is why the TGLC structure is a game changer because you need to monitor progress.
Yeah.
And I am part of the leadership of TGLC, right?
Yes.
The executive council. And I know when we get in there, some of the things we talk about, how do we measure impact? How do we measure success?
Yes.
How do we ensure that what we are doing is working?
Yeah.
Right? We are genuinely concerned about the progress of these people. You know, it's not just about talking, it's about moving things, action-based, right? So I think that is a model that I hope that many other leadership-focused organizations can look at, you know, where we are following through and through for 3 good years and even beyond. And the interesting part about what we are doing is that we are creating a network.
Mm.
I know other organizations like MasterCard, they have the alumni-based network and all of that. I think this is important, right? where you are not just leaving these people to their faith. Mm. You are giving them a family to belong to.
Yes.
They get to connect with different people. They get to be inspired, motivated, and supported. I think that is the more sustainable way of going about it, yeah. Right? Yeah. Which I think, because sustainability is key in CSOs, because if we have established that what they are doing is critical to societal progress, then they definitely need to be sustainable. Otherwise, you know, we risk having half-baked kind of success, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's important that such models as what TGS is doing can be patterned after in the future. And one last thing, which I think is very important for organizations that want to focus on leadership development, is the mindset reorientation.
Yeah.
I think most of the times what these CSOs do is that they just invite the people, hey, what are you working on? Okay, I want to build the next tech.
Cybertrucks.
Okay, good. They're supporting you 1 million. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do that. What are the numbers coming in? The mindset is important. I think that is where we are. It's important that young people who are going to take over the helms of affairs in Africa have their minds reoriented. They need to learn and learn and relearn. You know, here at TGS, we are being challenged by different problems. You know, that we call it different mentalities. People are entitlement mentality. You know, young Africans are very entitled to a lot of things. Yeah. Once I complete university, I need to be employed.
Mm.
That has to change. The problem of sanitation is the responsibility of the government. No, you have a responsibility, right? So the mindset is important. Change driven, right? Action oriented, you know, time consciousness, all of this stuff are very, so I think that it's also important to focus on the mindset aspect of it. People just do things because that is how they've been oriented, right?
Yeah.
From the family to the basic school to the university. They've come to believe that, oh, Ghana man time, you know, everybody does that. Or there's no need to be too focused on excellence. These are all mindset issues, right? People focused initiatives.
Yeah.
Whatever you are doing must be geared towards changing the lives of people. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. So that you, when you get into that chair, you know, either as a minister or whatever, your focus is about the people,
yes.
Right? So these are some of the things that I believe we can look at, especially what TGS is doing. I hope that many other CSOs can look at us and even help us modify some of these things, and we keep developing.
Yeah.
Okay, we've been looking at nurturing exceptional leaders, the role of CSOs and NGOs. So before we draw the curtains, your final words, Sly?
Yeah, final words. I think this has been very insightful, especially having Abby on board to share insights from MasterCard and other places. I think it's amazing. And most importantly, the series we are on is very, very important for me. It's something that I'm very passionate about, because it puts the responsibility of changing the leadership narrative directly into the hands of everyone,
mm-hmm.
directly into the hands of the family member, into the father, into the mother, into CSOs, and we are going to touch on different, you know, actors and players. So I hope that by the end of this, everybody sees the need to create new leaders or different types of leaders for Africa as their own responsibility and not the responsibility of someone else,
mm-hmm.
because we keep shifting the blame. Okay. Everybody says that we need different leaders. We need different types of leaders in the Totoro, in Ghana, on the streets, everywhere. Everybody, oh, these are our leaders. But whose responsibility is it? So I hope that this series will help all of us know that the responsibility is directly into our hands. So,
Abby.
Yeah, and I think for me, the first thing I want to say is for NGOs, CSOs, show than tell.
Mm-hmm.
You need to show, you know, how you are committing than telling us through your reports. We need to see the leaders you are raising. We need to see the excellence.
Yeah.
I think that is what speaks to the work of NGOs and CSOs. And the second thing I want to say, and then I promise that's my final words, is that these leaders we are raising also need a global perspective.
Yeah,
I think that, you know, sometimes for a lot of these NGOs, we limit our scope to the small community or to our country or even to the continent. But given that balcony view, that holistic perspective, it changes the way young people think and the kind of leaders, you know, they become, because they become system thinkers. They are not just thinking about what they are doing and how it fits into that small bucket, but how it is contributing to the overall good. We've talked about, you know, the AU agenda. We've talked about the SDGs. We've talked about Africa Works. There are so many policies. And so for these leaders, the question is, how is, you know, what I'm doing, how is the influence these NGOs are making, how is that contributing to me, you know, making an impact in these policies and in these goals? And I think that's very important, you know, in making sure that we are raising leaders who are ready, who are system thinkers, who can, you know, change the world. We say we are taking, here at TGLC, we always say this thing that we are taking the underdogs and we are making them exceptional leaders. But we don't just want to make them exceptional leaders who are limited by Ghana or Africa, but whose impact will transcend the borders of the continent. Right. And the impact will be seen globally.
Right.
Those are the kind of leaders we want to raise. So, you know, to all the NGOs, CSOs, decision makers out there, as we are raising leaders, let us also look at how we can bring in that global perspective in shaping them. Thank you.
Sure, not just tell. That's interesting. Yeah. So I promise that we'll play a game and then I'm happy to head right into it before we draw the curtain. So Abby, I'll start with you. Oh, so this game is called the This or That.
This or That.
This or That. So I'll give you two options and then you choose. So Abby, you also says, would you prefer like Easter holidays in Kwewu or December holidays in maybe Royal Sanchi?
Oh, I'll take Easter in Kwewu. You have no idea. Kwewu or Kwewu?
I hope to experience it one day.
I think it's just because, you know, everybody is there. There's the paragliding.
Right.
It's a thing. So okay. It's definitely going to be Easter.
That was easy, I guess. Yeah. Okay, so slide for you.
Soft one, please. Easy one.
I promise too. So Ghana jollof or Nigeria jollof?
Oh my God.
That is easy.
I'm tempted to give Pizza Man, Chicken Man some accolades here, but that would be promotional. So let me just, but definitely Ghana jollof. I'm actually curious to taste the Nigerian jollof so that I could make a final decision. But right. I know that even at the end of the day, it will still be Ghana jollof because there can't be any jollof anywhere that can be compared to the Ghana jollof. Especially my mom's jollof. That will burn from the pot. And you can get the under in it, you know. So definitely.
Okay, I'll be another one name. Okay, Canada or US?
That's
an easy one.
Definitely Canada.
Why?
First of all, because that's where I went to school and I live and I have family and friends there. So yeah. And I just like, you know, the way the Canadian culture. You know, there are lots of jokes that Canadians are very polite. They use please and everything. But I think it also makes for a nice place to live. So, yeah, definitely Canada.
Okay, so...
Another easy one.
Huawei or iPhone?
I've actually not used Huawei before. Did I ever use an iPhone before? I think I started with Samsung also. No, Tecno. I went to Samsung. And I'm not doing Vivo. So I don't know. I'm being tempted and influenced by my friends to do iPhone. I don't know what is in there, but I might give that a try in the future. So maybe iPhone. Yeah. Especially because of that international...
I thought you'd say Huawei.
So I'm coming. Because it's more adaptable to different places. I don't know how the Huawei system is built. Probably it might be restricted. You know, even Google is currently being restricted on Huawei. They don't have some of their apps there. And, you know, I need to explore more. So I don't want to be restricted. So probably I think iPhone would do.
Okay, I'll be last one. Heels or sneakers?
Definitely sneakers. Sneakers. I wish sneakers was adopted for the corporate world. I would like
you should to have gone for it for your wedding.
I wore sneakers
you did?
For my reception.
Okay,
I was in sneakers.
Right, okay, cool.
I think that the corporate world needs to adopt sneakers. Let us wear sneakers to the office. I can't, like, why do we put ourselves through the hassle of wearing heels? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, unless people, you know, like it. But for me personally, I think sneakers for me.
Ladies,
any day.
Ladies
any
are
day.
Amazing. Seeing that kind of posture in heels.
Yes.
Makes me feel like wow. Like
so it's like a football game or basketball game.
Football should be good.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm used to. Love, especially the World Cup aspect of it, where all our adrenaline is heightened, you know, the Ghana thing or supporting Portugal because of Cristiano Ronaldo or going for Argentina, you know. It's just fun. That kind of the whole world comes together to support. Different from basketball, where it's not really a global thing, you know. So football, because of the unity, because of the fun of it. And I'm looking forward to the AFCON 2024, I think, next year. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, this has been the African Leadership Conversation. I've been here with Sly and then Abby, and we've been discussing nurturing exceptional leaders, the role of CSOs and NGOs. Stay tuned for other interesting episodes. Bye.